Welcome to Holy Week Wednesday. I'm glad that you're choosing to make these meditations a part of your week, and I pray that as we continue to move through this time of preparation, you can find comfort and strength in knowing that through all of this chaos, God is with us. I do want to remind you that we will have a virtual Maundy-Thursday communion service tomorrow evening. The reflection and meditation will go online through Kirkwood's website at 7 o'clock. The intent is that as much as possible, we observe the Lord's Supper together as close to the same time as we can. So remember to have juice and bread ready and log on to the service as close to 7 tomorrow evening as you can so that together we can remember what Jesus has done for us. Right now, I would like to begin our meditation time by praying Psalm number 70. I will be using the Revised Standard Version. You can use your own Bible, or you can click on the PowerPoint slide and read the Psalm along with me. So, let us pray. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire to hurt me. Let those who say, aha, aha, turn back because of their shame. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer, O Lord. Do not delay. Our first meditation song today is, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. You can click on the link on the PowerPoint and join in giving praise and thanksgiving to God. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9, was one of the readings from this past Sunday. You may remember it. Listen again to this servant song from the prophet. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheek to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint. And I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? I invite you to consider how the psalmist posed a similar question. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Chris Tomlin captures that kind of trust in his song, Whom Shall I Fear? I invite you to click on the PowerPoint slide and consider the strength of that message. Our next reading is from Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. It may be a familiar passage to you that talks about the race of faith. Listen to God's word. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. I think that maybe one of my biggest disappointments during all this COVID-19 mess is the postponement of the Summer Olympic Games this year. I know that they have been rescheduled to next summer, but somehow it doesn't quite seem the same. I can only imagine the disappointment of athletes who have been undergoing the rigors of training for this one shot at glory. I have often equated the word picture of Hebrews 12 with an Olympic race. The stadium is packed with cheering onlookers. The athletes put aside any kind of hindrance that might stand between them and victory. The starting gun fires, the crowd roars, the race begins, and the runners have nothing but the finish line in sight. If we ran our race of faith with that kind of discipline, that kind of perseverance, with such trust that the finish line is eternal life in the glorious presence of God, what would that look like? Would we be able to walk as children of light? I invite you to pause this recording and reflect on the hymn, "I Want to Walk as a Child of Light." Our gospel reading is John 13:21-32. After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So, while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So, when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you're going to do." Now, no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once." Denial and betrayal. Jesus faced both on the night before he died. In his book, Little House on the Freeway, Tim Kimmel quotes Eugene Peterson, "Among the apostles, the one absolutely stunning success was Judas, and the one thoroughly groveling failure was Peter. Judas was a success in the ways that most impress us. He was successful both financially and politically. He cleverly arranged to control the money of the apostolic band. He skillfully manipulated the political forces of the day to accomplish his goals. and Peter was a failure in ways that we most dread. He was impotent in a crisis and socially inept. At the arrest of Jesus, he collapsed, a hapless, blustering coward. In the most critical situations of his life with Jesus, the confession on the road to Caesarea Philippi and the vision on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said the most embarrassingly inappropriate things. He was not the companion we would want with us in times of danger, and he was not the kind of person we would feel comfortable with at a social occasion. Time, of course, has reversed our judgment on these two men. Judas is now a byword for betrayal, and Peter is one of the most honored names in the church and in the world. Judas is a villain. Peter is a saint. Yet the world continues to chase after the successes of Judas, financial wealth and political power, and to defend itself against the failures of Peter, impotence and ineptness. We can continually remember that Jesus does not seek out perfect people to do the work of the kingdom. Jesus seeks people he can make perfect for the kingdom, even people like us. Let us pray. As you prepared to eat the Passover meal with your disciples, Lord Jesus, you knew that Judas was planning to betray you. He had made his decision, and you had to face the consequences of that evil plot. Jesus, you knew that God would use that evil to pour divine love into our world. Divine love brings redemption in spite of evil plans. We claim that redemption and pray for faithfulness to Jesus. We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to keep us secure in your love and firm in our faith. May we not submit to any form of false allegiance or insincere discipleship. May we give ourselves to you and you alone. We pause to consider the hurt that you felt when you were betrayed and denied. In our meditations, Lord, we feel the finger of accusation that we point ourselves. Forgive us when we lose hold of faith, making ourselves vulnerable to the persuasive power of selfish gain. Establish us in the faith, strongly committed to Jesus as Lord, that we may be true in our discipleship and constant in our devotion to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Our closing meditation hymn is More Love to Thee, O Christ.